be something. I guess we're just going to welcome you and say bye. She's got to learn. Uh-oh. While she's figuring that out, there's Jimbo and Brittany. We were just talking about you guys and your washer and dryer and all of that. Thank you again. Thank you again. Yes. All righty. Okay, Wednesday, James, we're continuing chapter 1, verse 22. You're all welcome. 6 o'clock. Don't be late. Right? Okay. And then, next Sunday, down at City Beach, do not come here. Do not come here. Down at City Beach, starting the same time as usual, Thad and Rebecca Hoosby will be sharing again with us in worship and music. Then we're going to have a baptismal service. We got two at least, maybe some more that are going to be baptized. If you're interested in being baptized or rebaptized, let me know. And then we will have our monthly food and fellowship there. Also, Anita says there's going to be either some chicken or sub sandwiches or something. We got the main entree covered, so we'll bring whatever like we normally do with our potlucks here, okay? Is that clear? Bring chairs if you want. Don't have to. There's plenty of tables down there to sit in the pavilion. All right? Okay, then. Looking forward to that. And church council meeting scheduled for the 17th, 2 weeks from yesterday, Thursday, I think. Anyway, we'll remind you about that as well. Got anything else? Yes. Here it comes. Did you know that weekly Bible reading can be read on your phone or computer? Just go to sandpointchurchofgod.org and click Bible readings. Then just click on the Bible reading for the day and the scripture will open. There you go. So if you lose your Bible reading insert or prefer to use that, there you go. Thank you, Kathy, Sister Kathy, for that. Mike? Oh, well, there are some pros and cons both ways. Okay. She can write in hers. Depends on if you your phone or whatever. All right, so there's that access as well to God's Word. And as always, scripture readings for the week usually lead up to what we share together. And speaking of which, Matthew chapter 4, excerpt. Disconnected? Okay, yeah, I think it's this mic up here. Anyway, excerpting a little bit of Hollis's message to introduce our call to worship, two of the responses. Did I do that? Two of the responses. Oh, that was you. Okay, stop it. I'm trying to read scripture. I'm trying to get spiritual. Are you done? Okay, thanks for the warning. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Is that what we're here for? Okay, then. We're following in the footsteps of Jesus as we come together. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again for this day and for the freedom to come to your house to worship you. Thank you for those that are here, perhaps some others coming. As we unite together, Lord, we just join our voices and our hearts in our thanksgiving, in our praise of you. You alone are worthy, and so we offer ourselves to you as well and pray, Lord, that you will be honored and glorified in our midst today. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. Stand and greet someone you haven't had a chance to. Tell them how glad you are they're here. Give them a hug and smooch. This offering used to be called Jimmy's Pennies. Because when he was like Evie's age, they used to take this offering and call it Jimmy's Pennies. It went for the same purpose, but at some point he grew up and we couldn't call it Jimmy's Pennies anymore. And someone had the brilliant idea to call it Children's Change the World Offering. And so we do that now, and little Bennett, little Evie and Bennett, following in Daddy's footsteps. Okay, I guess I better be quiet and turn it over to Hollis. Hollis, thank you, as always, for sharing what God has laid on your hearts. Our prayers are with you as you share with us.
Oh, Good morning. Ooh, that was loud. Dwayne, I got to apologize. He asked me, does I only make church now when I preach? And that's not the case.
We just need to see more of you, bud.
I know. Last week we were not here because we'd went out to Garfield Bay and had a birthday celebration with our granddaughter, because my birthday's on the 26th, hers on the 28th. They rented one of them campgrounds and everything. And then when we got home and went to bed, I simply just did not set the alarm clock. So we didn't wake up. I didn't wake up to 10, and she was still asleep. And by the time, she's been, anyway, and the week before I was out at the Newman's Church. And next week I'm going to be back out at the Newman's Church. But we will be there, but we're just going to be running a little late. But we will be down at the beach. So I wouldn't loaf, and I guess is what I'm trying to tell you. And even God rested one Sunday, didn't he? Sermon today is really hard for me, or difficult, because I'm going to be touching on some stuff that's very controversial. And that's not my goal. My goal is to get to the real truth of Christ. I was watching with my wife, and we were clicking through the YouTube stuff, and we came up on a video, and then I watched a couple of different ones because I'm like, what's going on, you know? And I saw individuals apologizing for the way that they were born to other individuals, and was seeking forgiveness and repenting from, and seeking repentance and deliverance from these other individuals. And that scared me to death. Because there's only, in my opinion, there's only one Redeemer for any sin. And as much as I love Brother John, it's not Brother John.
Close.
It's Jesus Christ. And that's the only one. And if any condition that I'm born in, if it's a sin, I don't take it to Brother John. I take it to my Lord and Savior. Because he's the only one that can redeem me. And that's why we're going to look at this today. And someone say, well, how do you know that? Some of y'all may know it. My wife knows it. She was raised 90 miles up from where I was raised, on the coast. And even though there was 90 miles apart, there was totally two different worlds. She was raised up in what would be known as the Baptist Methodist Bible Belt. And I'm raised up down on the Gulf Coast in the fishing community, what they called them evil Catholics down there. Don't go down there with them Catholics. You got to watch them Catholics down there. They're something else. They're pirates and everything else. They're not just normal Catholics. They happen to be Catholics that are pirates too. And which is some proof in that, actually. So I was raised up Catholic. And I was a handful when I was little. Okay? And still are, okay. Yeah. And I constantly had to go see the Father. And I constantly would have to clean the pews and seek forgiveness and, you know, say some, you know, our Father or Mother, you know, pray to the Mother, you know, Blessed Mother, you know, and all that as I cleaned for repentance. And when I initially went to him, because I had guilt, because I knew what I did was wrong, I felt better. But as time went on, that emptiness came back into my soul. wasn't until I accepted Jesus Christ and repented to Him that that guilt left and that impotence did not come back. Now, do I still falter today? Do I still have to seek forgiveness every day for my shortcomings of being in my flesh? Yes, I do. Because no one's perfect, especially not me. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And I think this is, I know we focus as Christians a lot on the cross, and I'm not trying to minimize it in no way, but this story here is just so important, because really for the first time, you've got God Almighty on this earth and the physical presence of Satan. They're there together. And Satan is challenging our Lord at every turn. So, Osborne is going to read for us.
Starting with verse 4.
All of it.
Please. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
For me, that's powerful stuff. Because right there, if you look closely, Satan identifies exactly how cunning he is, and God identifies exactly who he is. It touches me here that here in 4, where Jesus says that it's written there, then right back in 5 and 6, what does Satan does? Comes right back to Christ and say it's written. So he's turning right around and repeating exactly God's own words back to him to try to deceive him. That's scary stuff. If he's that bold that he thinks he can pull that on Jesus Christ, what do you think he thinks he can do to me? Is it the question I'm asking here is, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of people are trying to tell us that if we do certain things materialistic, or if we behave in a certain way and towards other people in the world, that some way or another that will heal this country. And I am saying to you, nothing else will heal this country but the road through Jesus Christ. And if anybody tells you anything different, they're a liar, in my opinion. There is only one way. There is only one set of healing, and that healing is to the Father. And the only way to the Father is through the Son. He hung on that cross with a nail in one hand and a nail in the other hand. And one hand holds on to humanity, and the other hand holds on to God, the Creator. And through that blood, it drips through that soul, through that spirit, I can get back to the Father. And nothing is all right without the Father. So if they tell you that if you behave in a certain way that pleases them as another human being, that you're okay, they're lying to you. Because the only behavior that makes me okay is the behavior that's pleasing to the Father. That's it. And do I fall short of that behavior sometimes? Oh, yes. That's why I need Jesus. If I could get it right all the time, there's no need for Jesus, is there? See, this is the proof here, this story, not the cross, which it is, but we should have known from right here that Jesus Christ was exactly who he said he was. Because you ever ask yourself the question, why is Satan trying to break Christ? Why is he trying to deceive him? Why is he trying to get him to behave in a way that he would have Christ behave in? It's not about Christ in this 40 days. It's about you and me. It's about you and me. If he would have turned the stone into bread, he's no longer worthy of the cross. If he would have tempted his Father to send the angels to save him and jumped off, he's no longer worthy of the cross. If he settles for all the richness of this land, he's no longer worthy of the cross. Because he's not who he said he was. And then me and you have no way out. Satan was not trying to condemn Christ. He was trying to condemn me and you. Because he knew the truth. He knew the truth. And God made it clear, my Lord and Savior, worship only God. And then the angels came to him and attended to him. And the King James, it says, administered to him. It's healing, taking care of him. You have to realize, and that's what proves in his flesh as a human being, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the desert, whatever you want to call it, out alone. He was as weak physically as he could be as a human being. And all the desires and the needs of the flesh, the human part of him, was crying out for relief. Satan attacked him in that moment, and he still could not break the Spirit of God in him. Still could not break the Spirit of God in him. And that's what proved that the Spirit of God, the perfect Spirit of God, lived in Jesus Christ. Because any other man, under them human physical conditions of their flesh, would have broken and took of the, and would not. They would have made the bread if they could. They would have jumped off to look for deliverance from the angel. They would have took the richness of the world from Satan to let the physical pain. In that situation, he's the only way. No true healing, no true restoration, no true anything comes to me and you if it doesn't come through Christ. No matter what some billionaire tells you. That if only you do this, you'll be okay. My message is simple today. Yes, does this world need healing? Yes, it does. Does this country need healing? Yes, it does. Will me being ashamed of being born a coon blank heal this country? No. See, I know I might look white to you guys, but I'm not. I'm a coon blank. I'm a Cajun. That's what I am. And that means I got some black folks in my family. That means I got some American Indians in my family. That means I got a little bit of French and a lot of Scottish in my family. It'd be easier for me to tell you what I don't have in me than to be able to tell you what I do have in me. Because we were all mixed up down there. You know, I knew no difference. Confessing and being sorry that God born a man, light-skinned, blonde hair, blue eyes, in America, would that repent for the sins for this nation? I'm telling you, the Lord and Savior is not a God of shame and guilt. He is a Redeemer. He is the Lord. His Father is the God of resurrection. His Father is the God of wholeness. His Father is the one that puts us back of glory, back in His presence. My Lord and Savior is not a God of living in guilt and shame. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and one of the things I'm fitting to share came from him. We can't live in the past. There's no future in it. No matter what happened, we cannot live in the past and there's no future in it. But the question that I raised to him, if my Lord and Savior, blood that he shed on the cross, on the hill of Calvary, if it's good enough, if I accept him to cover my sins, is it not good enough to cover the sins of my father, my grandfather? Or do I just get released from my sins, but I still got to live in the guilt and the shame of my father's and grandfather's sin? I still have to tote their sins, but I no longer need to tote my sins. Does that make sense? No. The blood of the Lamb covers all sins. All sins. I'm going to close with this, a simple illustration. There was a handful of children were born 2015. They're 5, 6 years old. I want you to imagine these little kids in your mind. I want you to kind of envision that little girl back there, that little innocent face, that face of Christ. And I want you to imagine them. I want you to imagine a little German girl standing right here. And then a little Japanese boy. Innocent as the day is long. I want you to imagine that. And then I want you to imagine a little white girl from America. And then I want you to imagine a little black boy from America. All born in the same year. Then I want you to imagine a little Jewish girl and then a little Roman boy. These innocent child. And then I want you to ask this question. If they were standing in front of my Lord and Savior, would my Lord and Savior look at that little German girl and say, you will have to tote the sins of the Holocaust forever. They will solely rest upon your shoulders. Or would he look at the little Japanese girl and say, the sins of Pearl Harbor will be on your soul forever. You will tote them. Look at the two little American girl and kids and boys and say, you know what? Sins of America, they are all on your shoulder. You have to tell them. And oh yeah, by the way, I hadn't forgot about you, you little Jewish girl, you little Roman girl. The sins of nailing me to that cross, you will have to bear. No, that's not the Lord and Savior that I have. That's not the Lord and Savior that I know. My Lord and Savior would say to them, you're all free. The debt is paid through me. We got to stop this insanity in this world. Us Christians have got to quit laying down and allowing Satan's henchmen to lie to society and to our children and not tell them the truth. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven and made completely whole through Jesus Christ. And if we don't get that home to humanity, we're in trouble. Thank you, Brother John. That's all I got.
Thank you, Hollis. You hit the central truth of the gospel and some other issues that relate to it. The main thing, as you've said, is that Jesus himself is that which keeps us connected with God and with each other. And Satan does try to divide us and separate us. But our response can be that we want to be nearer to the Lord. We want to be nearer to each other. And Jesus makes that possible through what he's done. A precious old hymn, Nearer, My God, to Thee. That's my response. You want to stand with me and say it's your response too?
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his triumph over the enemy. We're thankful that he passes that triumph on to us through his blood. Thank you that we, in the name of Jesus, can say, Satan, go to your hole where you belong. Thank you, Father, that when Satan desires and attempts to bring us down, we can also speak the words that we've hidden in our hearts that you have given to us to prepare us for those moments and those times. Thank you for your word, your spirit that lives in us and through us, bringing alive the life of Christ in ways that are impossible for us alone. But because we've received your life in us, it becomes reality. And so we just offer ourselves back to you again today and express from our hearts our desire that Satan won't be able to divide us, to separate us from you, but that we can draw nearer to you through whatever life brings us, good or bad. As you work in us through your Son, we're drawn closer to you day by day, moment by moment. What an awesome privilege to be your children, to be co-heirs with Christ. Thank you again for what he's done for us and he does through us. Thank you, Lord, that you continue faithful in the needs that we have been lifting to you. We're thankful that Sherry is getting better and still able to be with us. Continue your healing work in her, through her. We thank you that you're continuing to heal Dee, and she's making progress, hoping to go home this week, Wednesday perhaps. And in your time, we know that all will be well with her as well. We thank you that you continue to bless Beth Ann also and her testimonies that are a blessing to us. We pray for their friend Val that needs you. Give them wisdom and grace and opportunities they have to share with her as well. Thank you for your continuing comfort for Joanna. We just continue to lift her up to you. For Don's continuing improvement as well and healing, we thank you that you're with Bob and Ron's mom, Donnie. We pray, Lord, that she would have a very real experience of you in these whatever time is left here, Lord, that she'll just make a complete surrender to you. Bless Bob and Ron and the rest of the family in their care of her. And little Colton, we continue to lift him to you. We know that Mike and Brooke will not be able to be with us next weekend as they'll be over in Seattle again with him. And we just pray your blessing through those who are working with him and on him, that your healing grace would be made real through all of that. Thankful, Lord, that we can just entrust these concerns to you and others that I'm probably forgetting right now, but you know. And you're also listening to others as they lift their petitions and praise to you as well.